what is your name, sir?
Damon Curl.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, I'm Mr. Michael Johnson, I'm going to conduct your hearing, so if you could just hold on, sir, we'll be right with you.
Okay.
Good afternoon, sir, how are you this afternoon, after you? Been sitting there, you been sitting in that same chair waiting?
No, I didn't get here about 5 minutes.
Oh, all right. Okay, so you appeared before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones, coming down the line is the Honorable David Mill. In the middle, we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. White, who's our board chair. So my name is Michael Johnson, I'm going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning, or this afternoon now. So you appeared before this board, and I wasn't really quite clear. I was kind of confused on your sentence documents. It says that you're here for the 412B is a parole to your next consecutive sentence or a absolute discharge. Is that your understanding for your hearing today, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you're currently serving a 15-year sentence for aggravated assault and the parole to your next sentence. Would you go to the life sentence for armed robbery or another 15-year sentence for armed robbery? Did you have it? Go ahead.
My understanding, I was doing the 25 years.
Okay.
And that's my understanding, Roy.
Okay, so you do have a life sentence that you supposedly started in 93. And you became parole eligible for that one last month on the life sentence. And if you parole to your next consecutive sentence, it looked like you would go to a 15-year sentence for armed robbery. I'm not, you got a lot of sentence in there. What's the total amount of time that you have that's consecutive, sir?
I'm not quite sure. It's been a long time since I looked at any of that stuff, so I don't even know.
Okay. All right, so I'm just going to try to, because I was not able to figure out this sentence arrangement that you have here, but what it says here is that you're currently serving a 15-year sentence, and if paroled, you would go to another 15-year sentence, and you are also, that's also running in concurrent with your life sentence. You have a life sentence for first degree murder. Do you recall that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if you're paroled on this sentence, you're going to A16 concurrent. You will be going to your life sentence, which is, you have a combination of a couple of things. You have a life sentence, a 15-year sentence, and another 15-year sentence that are all running concurrent to each other, okay?
Okay.
Right.
I haven't been doing the life sentence since 93.
I'm telling you, I'm not quite sure, sir. You may check with your the CO3 and Timecom, because I spent about 30 or 40 minutes trying to figure this out, and I wasn't able to quite figure it out. But
the last time I appeared before you guys, that's what I was told, that I was appearing on the life sentence, and I was to be paroled to, if they would have granted it, paroled to my next number, which would have been 21. That's what I was told last time.
Okay. That could very well be true. You do have, when I'm looking at this, it looks like on this first degree murder sentence that you became parole eligible on June 22nd of 2018. So you may have been paroled off of that. You started your original sentence in 1993. Is that when you originally started your sentence?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you did start the murder sentence in 1993. You became parole eligible on that sentence. June of 2018, and then it looks like from there you went to
May 3rd.
To a 21-year sentence looks like, and then you go from there to another 15-year sentence, I believe it is, but I'm not quite sure, so I was not able to quite figure this one out. Okay? But you are. And then you have several other sentences that you are consecutive sentences. They got a 15-year, because, you know, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other consecutive 21 years, a 15-year sentence and a 21-year sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So don't take my word. I will check with you, see what the time comp, if you figure that out, Mr. Neal.
Up in the corner up here on the time comp, it says that he's on 22, which is the first one on the list. If granted parole, he'd go to A16, which is his next consecutive. The only issue, if he is denied and he moves through to his SED, then he'd go to a different one because...
Yeah, I see the A16, but what confused me is that you have the license is also referring to A16.
Well, all these ones with terms running in, the life sentence is running like this. These are over here. That's what he's doing all of his consecutives to.
I was going to be sure, he is serving his murder. He is serving because that's R93. But yeah, it's weird how they have it stacked. It would seem that he does go to that 21, which actually three concurrent sentences, a 15, a 15, and a 21.
Right.
I'm just saying. out of respect.
All right, so we're trying to look at, you are serving the life sentence, you were on a, you went from your life sentence to a 15-year sentence, which you have a sentence end date of April 25th of 2020. You came parole eligible on that on April 26th of 2015, so after you parole, you would then go to your next 15-year sentence.
Shit.
Go on, Robert. On your notification for parole, it does just have you down here for absolute discharge of parole to a detainer, which that's not true for your hearing notification form, that you're not due for a parole to your detainer. You're here for absolute discharge of parole to your next consecutive sentence. According to the information that we have here, sir, you have completed some programming that you have completed. It looks like, according to this sheet, the last program there had been a Spanish class that you took in 2015. Says that if released, you would live in a halfway house and work to support yourself. Your last citation that you received ticket was for a major that was in 2015 for threatening. Can you tell me what that was about, sir?
Yes, sir. I got into it with an officer over, he was something real small. They were preaching to me about something, so I got into arguing with an officer, and she accused me of telling another officer that if he don't say something to her, I would slap her or something, so they gave me a major ticket for that.
Okay. I see in 2017 you did have one for threatening and disobeying verbal, but both of those were dismissed. So your last citation that you were guilty of was that one in 2015. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you've been before this board on, looks like about six times. Each time that you came before this board, you were denied, is that right?
I think that's about right, yeah.
Okay. Okay, according to the court sentence document that we have here, it says that on May 11th, 1999, you were found guilty by a jury of count 2, first degree murder, class 1 dangerous felony. And then the offense occurred on April 20th, 1993 at the United Artists Theater located 7544 West Indian School Road. Says that you were originally charged with 41 counts of felony offenses including murder, kidnapping, and armed robbery. says that you have an extensive juvenile arrest record and have been placed on probation and while confined to the facilities of both here, California and Arizona, that you have the extensive juvenile record. This is an incident that occurred at the Piccadilly's restaurant cafeteria at the Westwoods Mall. Says that employees were closing the restaurant in the evening when you along with another man came in carrying a gun, entered the restaurant, forced employees into the office, pointed the gun at them, then demanded they open up the safe, remove the money. After they did so, one of the men fatally shot the manager of the store. And then all ran, the two ran out to a car that was waiting out in there. But you also had another incident that happened at a different location later on during that month, on April 20th. It was the Piccadilly restaurant. Then on April 22nd, you were stopped by the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office. You also, I believe you had one that involved shortly before a McDonald's restaurant. Also, I believe there was a theater that was involved. What was going on with you guys during that period of time? So it looks like you guys were just kind of on a robbery spree.
Well, yes, I can say, I talked to my attorneys about it. They told me to just continue to tell you what I've been telling you before. McDonald's on robbery, Piccadilly's, and some of those crimes I am not guilty of because I didn't participate in, but that does not mean I'm not guilty of those because I have. I wasn't part of all the crews that was doing that. The ones that I got guilty for, the ones that I admitted to, those are the ones that I did. But the other ones, I can't explain to you why I got found guilty for those, but here I am.
Okay, and you did appeal your conviction, and the court affirmed the conviction and said that they did err by not separating the trials that you had. It was concluded that the trial court erred. Denied a motion to sever the evidence would have been admissible in each separate trial. For that reason, the error was harmless according to the conviction. So they didn't sever the trials, but you guys did. So what was going on with you during that period of time, so that for what you were involved in?
I have to say I was an angry youth. You know, I grew up in a very violent situation. Mom's doing drugs. I got beat a lot as a kid. You know, I was involved in gangs. And so, the only thing I can say is I was an angry youth. I was angry. I didn't care about nobody. I didn't care about myself. So, man, people were like-minded like me, was involved, wanted to get involved with certain things. I was like, why not? You know, I didn't care.
So why, in a couple of instances where the clerk was actually killed, why was it necessary to kill the manager or the employee of the location?
Again, the movie theater, I was involved in that, but I did not pull the trigger. But I was involved in that situation. The Piccadilly was a whole different crew. I mean, not a whole different crew, but it was different people involved. And I wasn't one of them.
Okay.
Like I was trying to tell them, like I told them then, it was not just us, but of course that didn't matter. They had what they had, and that's all they needed.
So, Mr. Cole, tell me what's changed. What's changed about between, you know, back when you were angry juvenile and right now?
Well, I grew up, I suppose. You know, I've learned new things. I guess the major change is that I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, so He's taught me a lot of stuff, helped me forgive myself for the things I was involved in. So I see life differently, of course. I know things now at 42 that I had no idea at 16. You know, I can appreciate life more. I don't know, I just see things differently.
Okay, so what kind of program, I see that you have, did you get your high school GED?
Yeah, I got my GED in here. I got, went to Arizona Western College. I completed the carpentry. I completed the custodial. You know, I've been to every program they had out here, I've completed. So I've learned a lot out here.
Yeah, I see you got several certificates. Do you have any family here, sir?
All the families that I had have passed away. My mother's passed away, my grandmother's passed away, my uncles and aunties that raised me, they passed away. So I'm pretty much out here by myself now.
So were you raised here in Arizona or Phoenix?
I went to California.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out here when I was 14, I believe, 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that brought me out here, they all passed away.
So why do you think you should leave the world to your next executive sentence, sir?
Sir, I have no opinion one way or another. I'm done with it. I gave it to Christ years and years ago. So whatever happens to me, as far as I'm concerned, is in his hands. I did what I did and I can't take it back. So if he decides that this is my life, the rest of my life, so be it.
So you still taking the program, and you're still doing programming while you're there, or what are you doing now with your life?
Right now, they're restarting up the mentor program. I was a mentor for, I think, like 4 years before they shut it down, so they're starting up again. So they asked me to be a part of that, and I'm just waiting on, them to get that started. So once we get to the mentor program, I'm going to take certain classes over again to re-evaluate myself to them, and that's the only thing I'm looking forward to now, is to get the mentor program started.
So what do you say about the people you were hanging around with? Whose idea was it to do that? And in the theater, you know, why did they shoot the manager in the head?
Well, I got involved in it because my uncle was. I was 15 years old at the time. My uncle was like 19, 21. And he pulled me in. I'm not going to say he pulled me in, but he recruited me. And that's how I got involved in it. But there were other crews involved in it as well. It wasn't just us, but the theater, no, the Piccadilly, I was not a part of that one.
Okay.
The one at the movie theater, that is that was an unfortunate situation, but I did not pull the trigger. And to be honest with you, that was a day where I almost lost my life that day as well, because when it happened, the person that did it was, he was going to get dealt with. He was going to get in trouble for that, and I almost got in trouble myself, but we got caught by the police before anything could be done about it.
Mm-hmm. And they found the gun?
It was unnecessary.
When you got stopped by the police, they found the guns in the car that matched the homicides?
I believe they matched one of them, yeah. I don't know about the other one.
Okay. So what's the car? Tell me, you know, I know you say that you put it in God's hands, and, you know, whatever God decides to happen, that's what's going to happen. But what are you doing to change your life? So what's different about you in your life besides that?
Well, I haven't done, I know this might sound crazy, sir, but I haven't done anything consciously to change my life. The only decision I made was to accept Christ as my Savior and have Him change me.
Mm-hmm.
Or let Him change me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried to be a better person. I haven't tried to do any of those things because I know me by myself, I can't do nothing. But He has done a remarkable change in my life as far as I can see.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback I get from people who know me and the people who associate with me, you know, they can't even picture that person then to who I am today. At least that's what they tell me. And so to me, that's evidence that He's working with me. So that's only encouragement that I need.
So you said that you're doing some mentoring. What kind of mentoring have you been doing?
Well, the mentor program is about taking these young guys that come to the penitentiary today and try to help them realize that this is not the path they want to be on. You know, I've been down for a long time now, so I can try to help these kids see where they're going to be if they don't change their, you know, change their lives, change the way they behave. And the best way to do that is try to change the way they think. So we try to encourage them to get education, try to encourage them to work on their anger issues, because a lot of these guys come from broken homes and have anger issues, so we deal with that. And it's just about trying to encourage the guys and help them realize this is not the case they want to spend the rest of their lives. So that's what we've been, like I said before, we did it for 4 years straight. And it was, at first it started in one complex, and then it got, the director then heard about it, they endorsed it, so it went all around the state. They canceled it for some reason. I don't know why they stopped it about two years ago, but they started back. My ward is on this unit, he got in contact with me just a couple of months ago, and I told him he wanted me to get back involved in it, so that's what I'm looking forward to now.
So how old were you when you got involved in this? You're 42 years old now, right?
Yeah.
And how old were you when you got arrested?
16.
You were 16?
Yes.
So you spent not the majority, but all your adult life in prison?
Yeah, most of my childhood as well. I think the first time I got incarcerated, I was 11.
Mm-hmm.
And from 11 to 16, I probably spent about a year on the street, so I was in and out of juvenile a lot. So I spent most of my life behind bars anyway.
Okay. All right, well, so let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. Mr. Canales,
just real quick. Mr. Crowe?
Yes.
Just a question here. You did mention this earlier, and I apologize if it went past me, but have you taken any classes or done any education in Southern Department of Corrections?
Yes, I have.
What have you taken?
I've taken in my GED. I got masonry, custodial maintenance, and carpentry from the Arizona Western College.
What I want to ask is, for someone who's been on the street since you're 11, you present very well, and I do want to encourage you. Certainly not to the point of some of these periods of incarceration is total hopelessness, and I recognize you have a long haul, but you do present very well, and I encourage you to continue your education. Thank you.
Okay.
Dr. I.
Well, sir, and I don't know what I'm going to ask, so I don't mean it negative, but I have to put it negative. We have to be realistic. But if some miracle were to take place and you were released back out in the community, what would you do, sir? What would your plans be?
Well, the only thing I love doing is I love carpentry. So, because I talked this with my attorneys and they asked me the same question. And I told them that, you know, I always wanted to do carpentry, and that's probably what I would do. If I ever get out of here, I would find me some company, try to get involved with a carpentry company, or maybe build my own company if I could. But that's what I would like to do. That's what I love to do. I love to build things, build houses.
Well, I'm glad that you have a future, that you know what you want to do, where you can get started. So we'll just keep on keeping on. I just leave it at that, sir.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So seeing no other questions coming from the board, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board that's relevant to your case at this time before we go into discussion?
Not really, sir. No, I really don't. I just thank you guys for your time, I suppose. No, I really don't have any questions. I don't.
So, sir, the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, we'll make a determination whether to parole you to your next consecutive sentence or to deny it. I want you to stay on the phone so that you can hear the conversation taking place amongst the board, and then we'll make a decision. When we make that decision, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, sir. The board is now going into discussion. Mr. Curl actually sounds pretty well situated with himself and knowledgeable about what he wants to do. He's actually has taken some programs since he's been incarcerated. He did receive several certificates after receiving his GED from college. He says that he has no family, that all his family has passed away, that is just him now. And you know, we had a discussion earlier about his time, but what it does actually show that he has several consecutive sentences that he's going to have to serve 21 years that he would still have to serve. I think that Mr. Kerr is trying to make that change in his life. He said that he was 16 years old when this incident occurred. He's been in prison the majority of his life. He said the first time that he actually went to prison was 11 years old when he first went to juvenile. He still has a long time period. I think he's trying to reconcile with himself. He says that he was got saved. He put it in God's hand, and you know, if that's meant for him to be there, then that's what he's going to do. How he's going to try to make the best of what he actually has. He did have a ticket in 2015 that was threatening. He was a major. Said that it had to do with a clerk, but I think that I would be willing to consider to, based on the amount of time that Mr. Curl still has left, taking into consideration the victims that were involved in this, that there were multiple victims, multiple robberies that were involved, a different group of people. I believe that he says he was only involved in a couple of them, which is probably evident that out of all the charges that he was charged with, that he only wound up with the one murder charge and the robbery charges that he actually has in there that does not possibly include all the other ones that this whole group was committing. But I would be willing to discuss Mr. Kerr going to his next consecutive sentence, which would be another 15 years sentence. It would actually be a 21-year sentence that he would actually be going to after this. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Mr. Cagales.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Just a bit of discussion. If he's passed the last 21, what's your best interpretation of what he passes to after that? Do I make another 15-year sentence if he makes it through that 21?
Goes to 21 and it goes to... he goes to another 15.
You another 15?
Yeah, he made another 15. Another 15, and he has 25. He goes to 15 years, sentence 15, 21 year. Then he goes to a 15 year sentence, and then 21 year sentence.
Certainly willing to entertain that, if nothing else, in the form of encouragement, that this is not to be dismissive of the nature of the modern crimes that we're discussing, and recognize that it's been, well, I guess over 3 years since he's had a major, so there is kind of close, but I'm willing to entertain that.
And I do want to state that the current sentence that he's on right now has a sentence end date of April 25th of 2020 is the sentence end date of his current sentence that he has. So it would be about a year or early that he would be going to his next consecutive sentence. However, is there any other comments?
No, I agree. I think we should encourage my purposes and so that he would not have to come back before this board for another, well, probably 8 or 9% time, but another 15, 20 years before we come before this board again. So give him some encouragement. And then he went, I was just counting, even if things go right, he was still probably 100 years old before he's ready to get out. So I said, encourage him.
Okay, therefore I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to grant Mr. Carr parole to his next consecutive sentence and deny him parole to a detainer or an absolute discharge.
Second.
Agreed. Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Mr. Quinones. Agreed, Dr. Wright. Agreed, Mr. Mill. He's going to grant him release type granted was to his next consecutive sentence. Release type denied will be 412A, 411. He's going to 412B that he has to abide by his institutional rules, partake in available programming, and refrain from disciplinary infractions. Mr. Carr?
Yes, sir.
So, do you think you can abide by your institutional rules, partake in any available programming, and refrain from disciplinary infractions?
Yes, sir, I think I can.
All right, sir. So, the board has voted to parole you to your next consecutive sentence, which looks like you go to a 16, looks like you got it's a 15 year sentence that you will be going to for burglary in the first degree. Okay?
Okay.
All right, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, sir. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing this morning, sir. Would you please put the CO3 back on the phone?
Okay, you guys have a good day.
You too.
Thank you, sir.